Oh yeah, good morning everybody. Third week in running, Greg Rice here from Nexus Property Management. Your good friend, our good friend Emilio Despirito will be back at the helm next week. So thank you again for listening to me these last 3 weeks here. And this morning, first segment right out of the box, Paul Salcone from North Point Bank. Paul, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, good. We're going to talk today, Paul, about some of your first-time home buyer programs. And then I want to get into the $15,000 down payment assistance program, okay? Now that the grant is over, right? The grant for $17,500 is no longer there. So let's talk about first-time home buyer programs first.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Good topic today. So, you know, as everyone knows out there right now, the market's starting to change. I mean, interest rates are starting to drop. And, you know, again, obviously the spring market's very close to coming together. So I think first time home buyers are key right now. Anyone looking, you know, first time home buyer, let me just explain what that is. Obviously someone buying their first home, of course, but also if you've owned homes in the past, but it's been more than 3 years since you last owned, essentially you become a first time home buyer again. So there are repeat people who can be first-time homebuyers after 3 years. Keep that in mind. So I would say the most common first-time homebuyer program, I mean, obviously with, you know, FHA in particular, that's 3.5% down. That's good for single-family homes all the way through four-unit properties. So 3.5% down. Typically, credit scores need to be around 600 plus. That's a very, you know, traditional program most people are aware of. I think a lot of first-time homebuyers take advantage of that program. Another program that I feel is very is a good option that most people maybe are not aware of is conventional financing with first-time home buyers. So everyone thinks conventional, oh, you have to put down 20% or 5%. But if you're a first-time home buyer buying a single-family home, you can put down as little as 3% with conventional financing. And in this market, being a very competitive market as it is, I feel with a you know, conventional financing sometimes will trump a FHA offer. I mean, we all know FHA is a great program, but, you know, sometimes with the appraisals and whatnot, the conventional will hold more weight in this market. So I think 3% down is an option for that. Also keep in mind with conventional, this is something that changed the past couple months. Before with a multifamily home, you'd have to put down 20% or more. Now with conventional, they'll do as little as 5% down. And that's something that most people aren't aware of. So it's 5% down for 2 to 4 unit properties, owner occupied. And we can also use the rental income as well to help them qualify for more. So I would say that's another program that people, you know, should definitely look into in the spring market, especially when you have FHA offers where, you know, there are some different little caveats with FHA. One in particular, I'll mention it here briefly, is what's called the self-sufficiency test. As we know with FHA homes, if it's a 3 or 4 unit property, a lot of times you might qualify on paper, then all of a sudden the rents come in. And what happens is, let's say a 3 unit property, let's say fair market rent is $1,500 per unit. You take all 3 units, it's $4,500 a month. They take 75% of that as a kind of like a number they use. And if the mortgage payment is higher than that, it fails and it won't pass FHA, even if you qualify on paper. But with conventional financing, that doesn't apply. So keep that in mind for people who are looking, you know, first-time home buyers looking to buy multifamily homes. Two other programs I want to touch on briefly before the down payment assistance would be VA loans, which are great programs. I mean, first-time home buyers, of course, even repeat, it's 100% financing if you're VA. Also, no PMI. And PMI is private mortgage insurance, which we all know is an additional expense that the borrower would have to pay. So if we can go VA, no money down, no PMI. That's a great program for anyone, but especially first-time home buyers. And then one other program I want to mention as well is USDA program. That's another program. It's geared toward, again, first-time home buyers, of course. It's no money down, but the only stipulation is it has to be in an area, an agricultural area. There's certain towns in Rhode Island that they deem that qualify. For example, like Foster would be one of those towns. And if you can get this program, it is no money down. It's a program that it's similar to the guidelines of FHA, but again, it's a way for first-time home buyers to minimize their out-of-pocket expenses. So I feel like these are some of the first-time home buyer programs that are most popular in this market. I mean, do you have any insight on these programs? I mean, obviously, you've probably heard of these before, I imagine.
Yeah, but I love the multifamily, 5% down conventional.
Correct. And that's a big, that just happened a few months back.
Well, what I'll say is this, Paul. I feel that as humans, right, we never want to take a step backward. Okay. We never want to lower our standards. And a lot of folks that are in the purchase market have an idea, and they've had an idea for years on what they expect from their home. So now if you say, or if I say, hey, why don't you consider a two family, right? People are going to, I could already see it. I could already see, no, I'm never going to live in a multi this and that. I think people need to be able to readjust their standards in order to get to their goal. You can still get to the goal that you want, but trying to do it now, you're fighting against the current. So what do you say about people that just aren't into the multifamily deal? They feel it's dirty, it's old, it's not nice, you're not having privacy. What do you say to those people?
Sure. I mean, that's a great topic there. I mean, obviously in this market in particular, with rates being a little bit higher than we're accustomed to, also with prices being higher, many people who are used to, you know, paying a certain number a month, let's just throw a number out there. Let's say I'm used to paying $1,200 a month for my rent. Okay. Well, in this market, number one, it's going to be hard to find someone who's going to rent you a property for that low. But number two, I mean, a house, if you buy a single family home, it's virtually impossible to have a payment at $1,200 a month. So in order to offset that, what can we do? Okay, well, listen, you want to be at this number. How about buying a two family? And let's just say the mortgage, let's throw numbers out there. Let's say the mortgage is $3,000 a month on a two family home. Okay, but if you're getting $1,800 a month for rental income, now you're paying $1,200 a month. You satisfy your need. You kept your payment where you're comfortable. You own a house. You have all the tax advantages, the write-offs, the interest, everything else. So it's a win-win. And then you know what? Maybe this is your house for the next 2 to 5 years. All of a sudden now down the road, you know, maybe you get, you know, additional income or something changes and you want to, the rates go down. Okay. Keep that house as an investment property. It's income you can receive each month that I can also use to qualify you for the new house. So now the property, the two family is paying for itself. You know, you have the investment property, you have money coming in, and now you have additional income from that. Plus what you make already. Now you can buy that single family home and not become what's called house poor. And I think that's what I tell people most of the time.
I was dating a wonderful woman last year, and she lived in the second floor of a three-family house that she bought. And I was like, wow. I said, geez, you know, what are your expenses here? And she goes, well, my first floor, I'm getting about 15. Third floor, I'm getting 14. My mortgage is about 2,200. She bought it a couple of years back. So she's plus about $600-$700 a month.
Wow.
Living for free. Okay, she's working full time. And yes, it's not the comforts of home. Yes, it's not as private. Okay. But in a couple of years, she'll be able, and probably already is able, to save up and buy that single family home, move out of that second floor. And now that house is going to be plus 2,000 in her column. And sure, maybe that's going to offset her new mortgage.
You're right. And now the new mortgage might be 3,000, of which 2,000 is being paid by the other property. You're paying $1,000 a month for the single family home of your dreams, and you can't even rent that low. So yeah, that's a perfect example there. So and I know you mentioned you wanted me to mention the $15,000 down payment assistance program with Rhode Island Housing. So something else I wanted to bring to light is everyone's heard of the $17,500 grant they had. Obviously this time around it was very short-lived. It lasted a couple of weeks. You know, they even said to us initially, Rhode Island Housing, hey, listen, we have this program. It's probably not going to last that long, but we want to throw it out there. So we advertised it. Obviously, many people took advantage. So it was exhausted after about 3 weeks. So they said, you know what? It happened so quickly. Wow. We want to figure out a way. What can we do now for all those people that were counting on this? So now we have a Round Housing broader program. It's a $15,000 down payment assistance. Essentially, it can be used toward your down payment as well as your closing cost. And so this is a program where it is something that would be have to be repaid back. In theory, what I mean by that is, you know, when you buy the house, that money is given to you at closing. It's a no interest loan, no payment loan, as long as you own the house. If you were to sell the house, refinance the home, or maybe add someone else to title, then it would have to be paid back, or meaning added back to your loan. So it's a way to get $15,000 in the short term. It's a great program. It's for first time home buyers or someone who hasn't owned a home in 3 years or more. Minimum requirement in this program is a 660 credit score. In addition, there are a couple of their income limits. Real quick, without going in too much detail, if it's 1 to 2 people living in your home, it's about $120,000, the income limit. If you have 3 to 4 people living in your home, it's about $140,000 income limit. And the one thing I want to mention about income limit, what that means is people think, well, they're not applying. If you apply for this program, let's say one person does, and they make $80,000. But let's say their spouse or someone else living in their home makes money, even though they're not on the loan, they have to be factored into the income for the whole home. So that's the one thing that's a little bit different. It doesn't matter who's on the loan, it's who lives in the house with you. So that's the only little caveat with this program. But again, it's a great program. We can close in, you know, 30 days. It's something that, you know, I think first-time home buyers now should take advantage of, because it's free money that you're not paying back until you sell a house down the road.
So it's a 0% interest rate loan in essence.
Essentially, that's what it is. And again, you only pay it off once you sell the house or refinance the house down the road. There's no payment initially when you get it.
So essentially it is a grant. It's just, you know, your equity will pay for it, hopefully down the line.
Exactly. So I think a lot of people right now, they're disappointed about the grant going away, the 17.5. This is a way to maybe get you, you know, stay in the game, the 15,000. And like I said, it's a first time home buyers through Rhode Island Housing. It's a 30-year fixed rate loan. And again, it's a good program. So I wanted to mention that today for first time home buyers.
And how do folks get in touch with you, Paul?
Absolutely. So if anyone who listened to this call today is interested in talking to me about these programs or anything home, you know, home buying related, financing related, my number again is 401-419-9291. Again, I'm Paul Salcone, North Point Bank in Providence. I'm the sales manager and a loan officer there. I'd be happy to speak to anyone about any questions they have or anyone looking to get pre-approved. I'm happy to help them.
And are people able to meet you in person, Paul? Come down to the beautiful Turk's Head building.
Absolutely. So if people want to meet me in person, my office is right downtown in Providence, right in the Turk's Head building. I also have an office in Seekonk. If they're Southeastern Mass, want to meet in Seekonk, I have an office there as well, right off of Route 6. I'm happy to meet them in person. Or we can meet somewhere in neutral site. I'm happy to go to their home or wherever they meet, they feel comfortable to go over their options. I'm happy to do that.
Beautiful. Paul, thank you again. Again, Paul Salcone, a nice Irish guy from North Point Bank. And coming up next, we got Ted Tapuzis from Tapuzis and Associates. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right, brother. Oh, yeah, everybody. Greg Rice here filling in for my good buddy, my good friend, Emilio DeSpirito. And today we have Mr. Ted Tapuzis from Tapuzis and Associates. Ted, good morning.
Thanks, Greg. Good morning. Nice to see you. Nice to be here.
You too, brother. Absolutely. And we're going to talk OFAC today. And OFAC is Office of Foreign Assets Control. And before we get going, interesting statistic I was looking at before. China owns roughly 384,000 acres of U.S. agricultural land, which is interesting. And also, the top five states with the most foreign farmland investors is number one, Maine, Hawaii, Alabama, Michigan, and Nevada. So, Ted, what's the relation to your work, right, and OFAC?
I'll tell you. I mean, actually, there's a couple other things that we could talk about, too, along the lines of that foreign investment. So the OFAC search is really just, it's like a sanctions search where we deal with this regularly because it's part of the title search process. So not only do you do a search of the title to confirm, you know, liens, judgments, encumbrances, what the blueprint is for getting clear title, but you also have to do a search on OFAC for the buyers, the sellers, just to make sure they're not on any list. So the bottom line on this on the OFAC search is, you run the name, address, whatever information you have for the buyer, the seller, the parties to the transaction, and confirm that they're not on some wanted list. To be honest with you, I've done this for so long. We've had some hits, you know, where somebody will come up but it's not the same person. Same name kind of thing. And it takes a little time, you know, to vet that out and confirm that it's not our person. But it does come up with some things occasionally. The other way that it comes up in regular closing practices is when you wire some money, and the bank does it as well. You know, they verify that that the wire is being sent by somebody who's not a foreign national or not on some wanted list. You know, and you know, what we're trying to do is enforce the Patriot Act and make sure that you know, people that are on these sanctioned lists are not you know, getting away with buying and selling real estate. And you know, your point is actually a really good point that you mentioned a minute ago with the with foreign countries like China owning a significant portion of real estate in the US, and it just happens to be, you know, many times near bases or sensitive areas that that the U.S. government has you know, scattered throughout the country. And so Florida recently, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Florida recently passed a law, I forget, it was probably like July of last year, I think, where they have the buyers of real estate sign affidavits to say that they're not members of or not you know, affiliated with the Chinese government, not affiliated with any of these other, you know, countries like Syria and Iran and other countries that could potentially be you know, trying to purchase real estate in you know, sensitive areas. So yeah, we have, that's already in place, and Florida seems to be very much on the forefront of things like that, which I think is a good thing. And I think we should all, you know, sooner or later, you know, implement something like that as well. You know, like you said, I didn't know that Maine had a significant a portion of investment in you know, in foreign, you know, foreign countries having a significant investment in our farmlands there. It's interesting. But yeah, it kind of all works hand in hand. You know, we want to limit as much as possible any people trying to commit these actions, you know, that are going to affect our security in this country. So it's definitely real, and we have to be careful.
100%, Ted. And also, we can't buy land in China.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're right.
It's forbidden. So people might say, "Oh, well, you know, why are we going to stop them?" And it's like, "Well, they have totally prevented us." I'm sure somebody might have slipped through the cracks here and there, but as a general rule of thumb, we're not allowed to invest there. And some of the countries, right? You mentioned Iran. We also have some sanctions programs with Belarus, right? Myanmar, Central African Republic, Cuba, North Korea, Congo, Syria that you mentioned, and you know, it's just Libya too, Lebanon, Somalia, South Sudan. There's a lot of countries, so it's a subsidiary of the Treasury, right? Is that what this is under?
Yeah. And also the other thing that we haven't even spoken about, because it wasn't really the topic of today's discussion with OFAC, but you know, there's also a lot of wire fraud these days with you know, somebody posing as a party involved in the real estate transaction that could you know, hack into you know, usually a seller's email account or a realtor's email account. You know, so it's, you know, we have to just, and we get you know, closing agents in general get messages all day long from these, you know, phishing, you know, attempts, you know, from scammers and hackers, trying to, you know, pose as a real, you know, the title insurance company or a lender or something like this, where they're trying to get, you know, sensitive information from our, you know, passwords and other things from our network, so they can, you know, hack in here, pose as us. When they send out messages to parties to say, "Oh, change of plans. Here's the new wiring instruction." So there's a lot of stuff that's going on. You know, I think it's important to have as much of this control over the process as possible. I mean, of course, I'd I'm a believer in less government is better. But there's certain areas where I think more in government is necessary.
Especially in this process, you know, people, it's their maybe their only purchase ever. Okay. And so much money's coming across the table that it would be better to err on the side of caution. Yes, it's a nuisance. Yes, there's a lot of paperwork, right? Hundreds of pages. But what's the alternative? You throw away 50K and you wire it to the wrong account, and there goes your life savings.
You're right. You're right.
Greg, are there any recourse options? Any recourse when people wire? Is it just gone? Is it gone? Yeah, have you seen that? Have you seen it?
I have. I have. It happens. You know, it's just it's part of our process. We have continuing education classes regularly. You know, just to be aware and look what the new processes are that they're trying to, you know, slip by you, you know, and you know, they're trying to catch you at the most opportune moments for them, where, you know, you're busy at the end of the month or the middle of the month with closings. I mean, not as busy as we once were, you know, because the rates and the inventory and everything else is just kind of, and prices are just high. You know, when those moments were, you know, happening and you're super busy, you're getting inundated. There's so many messages coming in, and a lot of the stuff is getting filtered because we have you know, our own systems have definitely improved over the last, let's say, you know, 8 to 10 years. But it's still letting a lot of emails through because you can't filter every email out. You know, and most of these emails are just you know, it's just a simple email like it from anybody else. But you know, they're asking you to click here, you know, type in your info, and then they got you. So yeah, if a wire gets sent overseas, it's hard to pull it back. I mean, you gotta just be, you know, you gotta be aware of it almost like instantaneously, like, oh wow, you know, that was not real. You know, and that has happened occasionally where you know, you realize that you know, did you guys just change your wiring instruction? You know, and we say, no, we haven't changed the wiring instructions. As a matter of fact, our email or, you know, our messages to you in the course of the transaction always say, verify your wiring instruction. You know, like, for example, our wiring instructions are sent out, with, 4 digits, X'd out, you know, for a reason. You know, we want people to call us, to confirm that wiring instruction, not to just, you know, blindly send something out. You know, we want to, as best as possible, protect their interests without, you know, being too difficult to deal with, you know, and this, you know, so all these things kind of like interplay with each other. You know, OFAC is something that my clients honestly have been using for years. I mean, I don't even remember, maybe 2012, 13. I don't know how long it's been. It's been a while, you know, where we've been asked on bank owned properties, can you run an OFAC search, you know, that kind of thing. It's just become a little more mainstream because now, you know, it's happening on every title search. It really is. You don't know this, but it's happening.
And if you don't know it, that means that you're good.
Yeah.
And the seller's good. And last thing, Ted, is just for the folks out there, I've never, ever once sent a wire. Okay. I receive wires, right? If I have a closing, but I bring a cashier's check to the closing. So that's what I do. And I've done that my whole life. And I've never had an issue with it. Some of the checks were six figures for sure, but I just never wanted to be sending a wire the wrong number. I sent it to the wrong entity. So that's an alternative, folks. If you don't want to send wires, you can just bring a cashier's check. Just confirm with your closing attorney, right, Ted? You accept those happily.
Exactly.
And that's just a safe way. So again, thank you, that's Ted, right. Today. We're running out of time here. But folks, how do they get in touch with you, Ted? What's the best way?
Okay, great. Best way to reach me really is by phone. But I can give you the number. It's 855-451-0841. That's a toll free eight, but it's the direct line, 855-451-0841. They can also reach me at my email, which is T. It's a lot. Just try the website actually. TAclosingLaw.com. TAclosingLaw.com.
And Topouzis, just so people know, TOPOUZIS.
That's right.
I would have never got
it. You pronounced it perfectly, better than me.
Again, folks, Ted Topouzis, real estate attorney here at Topouzis and Associates. Coming up next, we got George Metz over at G-Metz Moving and Storage. Thanks, Ted. Oh, yeah, folks, Greg Rice here from Nexus Property Management. And now we're with Mr. George Metz, owner at G-Metz Moving and Storage. George, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. How's everything?
Good, good. And today we're going to talk about a topic that I give you a lot of credit for, George, first and foremost, because most moving companies that I've dealt with over the years, they don't even talk about it. They don't want to talk about it. All right. They're already out the door, literally and figuratively. Okay. We're talking today, folks, about reimbursement and repairing. Okay. George, his crew, they're coming in. They might nick a wall. They might scratch a fabric on a couch. These things just happen. That's life, okay? So, George, why don't you tell us about your process, right? Maybe give us an example, too. Tell us about a time the guys maybe made a mistake and how you fixed it and how the customer was made whole.
Got it. So, this was a topic that Emilio and I discussed the last month we were here, and we went. And he said the same thing. No mover is going to talk about damage, you know, whether you're putting it out there. We're not putting it out there. We're just trying to educate the consumers of what could happen, what does happen, no matter how good we are. I've been doing this my entire life. And mistakes, damage is going to happen. So it's how to best resolve the damage and get ahead of it. Unfortunately, no matter what path we go, time is never in the customer's favor, right? Every now and then, there might be one customer that has something small, maybe a small nick in their dresser, a small little chunk taken out of sheetrock going up to the second floor. Those things can be remedied very quickly. We use local professionals if it's something that we can't do in-house. So we're giving back to the painter that we know, right, that we trust. So we're giving it to him. He's going out for a small dollar amount to repair a small nick in the wall. He's doing the touch-up paint. He's making sure that customer is happy with the service he provides, which in return looks good on us. Unfortunately, you know, again, damage is going to happen. There's a furniture store locally that has a pit specifically for the 4,000 items they move in a day. It goes to a little holding area. People get a discount on it, right?
Yeah.
We're moving
about. Yeah.
We're moving about 4,000 to 5,000 items per move, if you think about it. So depending on the size of the move, we might be dealing with a lot of stuff. So the best part for us is, one, we do have internal people that can go out and try to remedy the wood repair, the touch up, the walls, even small nicks in floors. You know, I've talked to multiple flooring companies, some that are most of them are very good. Right. And they say, oh, you have to repair the entire floor. There's a few that can actually go out and just spot repair, and they blend it in perfectly. Those are the people that we're using on a woodwork repair on a floor. But we have upholsterers, woodworkers, custom people that are going to go out to repair the situation. There are sometimes it just can't be repaired, whether, you know, locally, we use House of Glass over in Warwick, little spot for them, for any glass repair, right? A desk has a piece of glass on it. It gets wrapped. It gets protected. We go through all the process. But, you know, we hit a bump. We're in Rhode Island, right? Drive 5 minutes, you're going to hit a pothole. Our trucks have air ride. They have everything they can to absorb the bump. But sometimes, again, a piece of glass might chip. We're going to work with a glass repair company. We're going to work with the professionals that can take that product and get it back to normal. Mm-hmm. There are times where it can't. Those are the times where, you know, we're trying to do everything outside of insurance, because I know when Emilio and I were going over it, the client is getting about 60 cents per pound per article damaged. So pennies less than that on the dollar. You take a refrigerator that is 100 pounds, they're getting $60 back. So insurance is not in the consumer's side.
Wow.
And that is a standard insurance. Any licensed mover has to carry that as their minimum coverage of insurance. The consumer can add on additional insurance. Again, me and Emilio kind of went over that last time. They can add on additional with us. If they're a renter, they can add it onto their renter's insurance. If they're a homeowner, they could add an additional line specifically for the day of their move for coverage.
Hmm.
You don't have to do that with us because, one, we're already insured. We're already licensed. We have workman's comp. A guy slips and falls. That's on us. General liability. If something happened in transit, we have inland marine liability. We have an umbrella policy. So no matter where the damage may happen, we are covered. But there's always an additional insurance that they could take out to cover better than the 60 cents a pound.
How about an example, George?
So example, we just had a very angry customer write a few reviews out there. I'm sure you could find them if we tried to look pretty quickly. They were upset that the move took about an hour longer than what was estimated. So that's where they originally started. And unfortunately, the house was getting moved out of as the same time we're moving into it, two different moving companies on the property. It was a nightmare to begin with.
Where was that property, George?
That was a Rhode Island to Fall River.
Okay.
So they were moving from Rhode Island out in that direction. Nice couple. They really were. They just got frustrated. We fully understood why. We get it, right? They wanted instant resolve. This was something that we could not instantly resolve. So the customer was a gentleman. I'll just say John for this example. And John was the person who booked the move with us. John was the person who communicated everything with us. And now John's wife, we'll say Mary, I guess. So Mary decides she's going to call and make the complaints. Well, unfortunately, Mary is not our customer. We have no idea who Mary is. Yes, she was giving us addresses. She was giving us good, useful information. So we knew what job she was talking about. But Mary, unfortunately, you're not our customer. John is. Give us a call. We can remedy this as fast as possible. But John has to be the person to call. Or have John just send us an email stating that we can talk freely with you, Mary. That never happened. So she starts with writing the bad review. They damaged my refrigerator. It's unrepairable. There's no way they're going to be able to fix this. I want $2,800 back, which was just about what her move cost. So she wanted a free move. She wanted to give her a discount for a full reimbursement on her move and reimburse her for a brand new refrigerator, which with the insurances that were signed, with everything that went into it, our thought process was, again, we work with local companies. There's one in Attleboro, one in downtown Providence that has new appliance parts. We don't deal with it all the time, but when we do, we know who to go to, right? So they wanted $2,000 between, and I just had the receipt out because I was just stacking it away literally like last week. The repairs for the refrigerator for new brackets and screws, because somehow when our crew was there bringing it in, the hardware miraculously just disappeared for the refrigerator. So the doors couldn't go back on it. It was a double door refrigerator. Doors would not go back on because there's no top bracket and no lower bracket. We ordered the brackets. We ordered every part that was required after we got the approval. So after the customer said, okay, I'm fine with that remedy, we ordered the parts. And then at that point, it took us an additional week and a half to almost 2 weeks to have the parts in our possession. So luckily, it was just a spare refrigerator that they had in their basement, right? It wasn't their main refrigerator. But it was the process of them writing the bad reviews, complaining about everything, not giving us the opportunity to tell them how we can remedy the situation. They just went 0 to 1,000, which we understand. Again, it's their property. They want to start living normally. We get it, but there are certain things that we can fix. Again, the next day, the same day. I mean, we've gone out to closings in touched up, you know, door jams in the day of the closing, right? Got white paint, did the white paint thing, or touched up a door jam, touched up something the day of the closing, because again, it's somebody that we work with regularly. George, we're not going to make it to closing if these, listen, I'm on the way right now. We're going to get it repaired. We've done same day. But again, certain things that are out of our control. When we have to bring in a third party vendor, whether it's a woodworker, most of the time our woodworker is very busy. Awesome guy, does great work. But normally he's about a week and a half to 2 weeks out, depending on what the day is. Then same thing with our upholstery company. If we nick a couch, scratch it coming through a doorway, leather, fabric, our upholstery guy over in Warwick does awesome work, but he's anywhere from a week to a week and a half out before he can take the product in. Never mind having to order whatever is needed from there. Maybe he needs a new fabric panel. Maybe he needs a new leather runner for the top of it. Those things are going to take time. It's not stuff that they just have stacked there. So what we always say is, listen, we're always going to remedy the situation. Always. We just need communication, just like you would want. But you have to understand that it's not a snap of the finger. We have your product. You know, we're not ordering off of the shipping company that's going to have it here within 24 hours, right? Where we are when we can. But we're also dealing with local mom and pop businesses. We're not going to, you know, GE themselves to get the hardware. We're going to the local place in Providence that will be ordering it from GE or wherever they order it from. But again, we're going to the local people that we're giving back to our community, not buying it online.
Good topic today, George. And folks, you got to check out George on the web. It's GMetz, G as in Greg, right? MetzMoving.com. That's GMetzMoving.com. And George, 401-383-6399, is that the one?
That's the best one. That would get you over to our office from normally 9 to 4, somebody is there. And then we're working on something for after hours as well. But normally somebody is there answering till at least 6, but 4, easily you're getting somebody immediately. You'll get calls back until 6, 7 o'clock every night.
George, you're accountable, you're reliable, okay, and you're integral. And that's very rare in today's world. So thanks again, George. And coming up next, folks, last segment of the day, Jennifer Jaeger from RI Blogger with the top 5 mid-March events. Thanks again, George. Oh, yeah, everybody. Greg Rice here again, filling in for my good buddy, my good pal, Emilio DeSpirito. And now we have Jennifer Jaeger from RI Blogger. And we are still talking mid-March events, Jen, because there's so much going on. There's the St. Paddy's. We're talking about Easter now. What's going on, Jen?
So this is one of my favorite weeks of spring, I guess. The 13th annual Restaurant Week starts March 21st to March 29th. I guess we could call it Southern Rhode Island Restaurant Week. There's all sorts of restaurants, George's of Galilee, Arturo Joe's, Matunic Oyster Bar, Mariner Grill, 210, Spain's, Ocean Mist, Tees of Narragansett, The Pub, The Bike Stop, Twin Willows, Gansett Poke. There's just so many. There's some coffee shops in there. I think Fuel Coffee's in there. But the kickoff party is March 21st. It's 5:30 to 8 p.m. You can join at the Historic Towers to celebrate the kickoff of the Delicious Week with local restaurants and exclusive tastings. There'll be a VIP hour as well as general admission tickets just to enjoy the local flavors. So I would say if you can't get to the kickoff party, and if you are, get your tickets in advance. But if you can't get there, you have from the 21st to the 29th to try a new place or go to one of your favorites. The Coast Guard House is also in there. Maiz, which is a new place in Peacedale. It's amazing. So it's got some incredible, authentic Mexican food. So I would say definitely put that in your calendar of events. March 23rd to 24th, 29th, and 30th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., you can join the Easter Bunny at Roger Williams Park Zoo and pose for adorable family photos. Bring your own camera to capture the magic. And then also take time to visit the zoo as the signs of spring start to appear. And you want to register in advance for that. But I always like going to the zoo as in between like the winter Summer thing, you know, the springtime is a great time to get there. The crowds are not as much, and then you get to see, you know, the zoo kind of start to come back to life a little bit. Saturday, March 23rd is also the third annual Easter Pup Hunt at Crescent Park in Riverside from 12 to 3 on Join Operation Possibility Project, which is for fostering dogs, adopting dogs, rehoming dogs. So all good things for those dogs who need homes. And it's for a doggy egg hunt. It's $10 per pup, and you get a picture with the Easter Bunny. I mean, you can find the golden egg for a special prize and support the Operation Possibility Project, and all dogs must be leashed. Sunday, March 24th is the Rhode Island Show Me Oddities and Collectibles Expo at the Crown Plaza from 10 a.m. to 4:30. Prepare yourself for an extraordinary adventure in the heart of Rhode Island. The Show Me Oddities and Collectible Expo is coming, and it includes diverse collectibles that span from vintage treasures to unique oddities. There'll also be artists on site, vendors, collectibles and collectors, and much more. So it just sounds like an intriguing way to spend your Sunday. Saturday, September 23rd and 24th and 30th, Seven Cedars Farm presents Easter Fun Days from 1 to 3 on the 23rd. And then on the 24th, it's 11 to 3. And the 30th is 1 to 3. Your ticket includes a wagon ride, meeting with the Easter Bunny, egg hunt, and an egg race. Eggs are coated if there's allergies of any sort. For example, nuts are gluten-free, so you can, I think, pretty safely attend this egg hunt if that's a worry. It's also weather permitting, and it's outside, so you need to, you know, take that into account. Bring your own basket, and you can show up anytime during the hours, and there's guaranteed to be eggs to hunt.
Love that, Jen. Again, folks, Jennifer Jaber, riblogger.com. Check out her site. There's just so much going on. And like I said a couple of weeks ago, your site is just packed, chock full. So thank you, Jen. And again, thank you, folks, for listening in today.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
All right. Once again, folks, Gregory Rice here from Nexus Property Management. We're in the bucket. We're downtown Pawtucket. Filling in for Emilio DeSpirito. Okay, third week in running. Thank you all for listening to me. We'd like to thank Paul Salcone from North Point Bank, Ted Tapuzis and Associates, George Metz over at G Metz Moving and Storage, and last but not least, Jennifer Jaber, RI Blogger. Once again, folks, thanks for listening, and talk to you next week.